Morning today. Today's daf in Pesachim is Yud. We're on Tesamud Beis. The Mishnah yesterday on the top of Tesamud Aleph taught us the idea of Cheskaso Baduk. When I check a house and I do the mitzvah B'dikas Chametz, so now the house is sealed and approved. It has the status of being a Cheskas Baduk. It has a presumption of being a checked house. You don't need to check it again. Mishnah says, don't worry if a rat or a rodent is going to bring Chametz from one house into this house, which is already checked. Not necessary to worry about such an event. Yesterday, Gemara spent a lot of time noticing that what the implication of the mission would be is that if I did see a rat bring chametz into the house that's checked, so that creates a problem. And this brought us to yesterday's discussion of when I have something which is a vadai, would a suffix be able to remove a status of a vadai? That was yesterday's discussion, and now we continue. We are in the Gemara on Tesamud Beis. We are at the two dots, about a third of the way from the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to be discussing numerous cases. Rashi, every single time in every one of these cases, it's going to be over a dozen cases. Rashi, every single time, explains that the issue over here is Bedikas Chametz. I'll explain better as we go through each one of the cases. Let's begin now with number one. Teishet Zibrum Shel Matzah Ve'Echad Shel Chametz. Let's say I have 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz. Okay, remember back in the day, the matzah and the chametz looked a lot similar to one another. Right, not like nowadays where they're easily discernible. But anyway, you have 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz. Vasa achbar v'shakol. And now what happens is that a rat takes one of the piles and he walks into the house with one of the piles. And now you don't know whether or not he brought in chametz or matzah. V'lo yadini matzah shakol chametz shakol. And you simply don't know. Did he take chametz? Did he take matzah? And so we are in a suffix. Now, this kind of suffix, isn't it resolvable by looking at the probability? So in this particular case, the answer is going to be no, for reasons we're about to explain. Heiner Teishi Chunios, that is no different than the case of the 9 stores. That will be explained in just a moment. Piresh, but let's say, of these piles that I had, 9 piles of matzah, 1 pile of chametz, so one of those piles was mifaresh. It moved away from this mixture. And then the rat takes from that and brings it into the house. Hainu Seifa. That brings us to the end of the Braisa of the 9 stores. Ditnan. We learned in the Mishnah. It's actually a Braisa. Teshe Chanios. If I have 9 stores. Kulam Mochrin Basar Shchuta. All of them are selling kosher meat. V'achas Mochra Basar Nevela. And one of them sells non-kosher meat. Okay. Go back to my days in Kew Garden Hills. So you go down Main Street. And nearly every store on the block is selling kosher. Happens to be there's one holdout, there's one person not selling kosher. So what do we say under those circumstances? Lakach me achas mehem. Now I take from one of the stores, v'eni yodei me'ezem mehem lakach. And I don't know from which store I bought. So sfeiko asr, under those circumstances, the suffix is going to be asr. Now what's going on over here? First of all, I know in general, if I'm working on general habits, the habit is to walk into a kosher store, not to a non-kosher store. So I understand that an argument can be made that you just basically base this case on what I'm habitual, what I'm used to doing. But in this particular case, however, the Braisa wants to highlight the following concept. That's the concept of kavua, and that means as follows: if I have a suffix, but the suffix is generated from something which is stationary. So then the halacha is that kol kavua, any time that we have a suffix generated from a stationary item, so kemechza amechza dami, we treat it like 50-50. Meaning basically we take all the statistics, we take all the numbers, and we throw them out. And we're left with just simply a suffix of 50-50. Now is there a way to explain this from a rational standpoint? It's really difficult. And I'm sure in the past I've tried. And now, in a slightly more seasoned version of myself, I'm not going to try. And I'm just simply going to say, gzeres hakasef. Okay, so that when we have a suffix emanating from a stationary position, this is the idea of kavua, kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. And that's the same thing now regarding our piles of matzah and chametz. Most of the piles are matzah. One pile is chametz. The rat took from one of those piles. But those piles obviously are stationary. Since they're stationary, and now the rat takes it into a house that was checked. And now the question becomes, and this is the way Rashi explains it, and now the question becomes, do I have to now go and check that house again? Meaning I just checked the house, what do I have to worry about? The rat brought something into the house? Yeah, most probably what he brought into the house was matzah, not chametz. Ah, but since the suffix is emanating from a stationary item, so therefore this is judged as a case of kavua, kol kavua kemechza mechza dame, it brings us now to a bona fide suffix, And so therefore you got to check the house again. Nimtza, now however, on the other hand, the second part of the braisa, it goes on to describe, let's say the meat left the store. So in other words, we're back to our 9 stores of selling kosher, 1 store selling non-kosher. And the meat left the store, so now the suffix is not being generated from the store, but rather the meat moved. Obviously somebody moved the meat, but the meat moved, so this is now, falls under the category of parish. And by parish, what's the halacha? So holecha achar rov. So the braisa says you follow rov. So here we do follow statistics, and we do follow the majority. So that means to say that when with my 10 piles, 9 being matzah, 1 being chametz, and one of those piles now moved away from this mixture. So now this is what's called poresh, and therefore the suffix is no longer emanating from a stationary item, and therefore we follow statistics. Statistically speaking, chances are that this, what the rat brought into the house is in fact matzah. No need to check it again. Okay, so those are cases 1 and 2. Case number 3. There's going to be over a dozen of them, and it'll be the whole daf today. So sit back and enjoy. Actually, some of it's going to be a little bit challenging in thought, but okay. Shnei tzibur mechad shel matzah ve'echad shel chametz. Here we go. Another scenario. I have two piles, one made up of matzah and the other made up of chametz. V'lifneim shnei batim, and I have two houses in front of the two piles. Echad baduk ve'echad she'eino baduk. One house was already inspected and bedika was done. The other house was not. Vastu shnei achmarim echad shakol matzah ve'echad shakol chametz. And along comes the two rats. One takes the matzah and the other takes the chametz. V'lo yidi'inan. Hai lahai ayil. V'hai lahai ayil. And I simply don't know which house the mouse went into. Did the mouse with the chametz go into the checked house or the unchecked house? And the same question exists with the other mouse as well. Hainu shte kupos. That is no different than the case of the two kupos. Did none. And over here, a mishnah. It's actually Tosefta. Shte kupos achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. If I have two boxes. One has the contents of chul and the other has the contents of truma. V'lifneim shnei sa'in echad shel chul ve'echad shel truma. And I have two sa'ah. I have two produce in front of it. One of chul and the other of truma. V'naflu elu l'soch elu. So, mutarin. And now, produce of truma falls into one of the boxes. Produce of chulin falls into the other boxes. So, statistically speaking, what are we looking at over here? It's 50-50. So over here, the Mishnah's ruling is mutter shani omer, because here's what I'll say: chulin l'soch chulin nafla v'chuma l'soch chuma nafla. That the chulin fell into the chulin box and the chuma fell into the chuma box. Now, what are you going to say? It's my lucky day. Meaning, how does the halacha allow us to view this as definitively chuma went into chuma and chulin went into chulin? So it's a wonderful question. In just a moment, we're going to answer that question. So and we're answering the question by looking at the Gemara's amazement. How did you just compare the two cases? Emer damin and shani almer b'chuma derabbanan b'chametz daraisa mi'amrinan. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. In that case of the shtei kupos, that's truma derabbanan. Meaning the only reason why we're making on that scenario is because that is a case where the truma under discussion is just truma derabbanan, not truma daraisa. Now we understand. The reason for an allowance of leniency over there is because, yes, it's true, we really don't know which produce fell into which box. And are we saying definitively that the truma produce fell into the truma box? We absolutely don't know that definitively. It really is a 50-50. However, edin derabbanan, so we could be mekel, right? Sfeiko derabbanan lekula. So by suffik derabbanan, we could be mekel. Okay, this is basically a suffik derabbanan. And so therefore, we can be mekel under those circumstances. Good. So over here, the Gemara says in amazement, I don't understand. We now have two piles, one of chametz, the other matzah. The rat took one of the rats took the chametz pile, brought it into one of the houses. And now we're just going to assume that it was brought into the chametz was brought into the unchecked house and the matzah was brought into the checked house. Meaning, how can you compare those two cases? We're talking about chametz. Chametz is a din daraisa. So the Gemara says, "Mi amrina natu bedikas chametz daraisa derabbanan hu." So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We're not talking about the din of chametz, we're talking about the din of bedika. Meaning the question that we're asking is, do I have to do bedika again? Doing bedika, that's a din derabana, not a din daraisa. And the mid daraisa, because from a din daraisa, all you just simply need to do is bittul. Once you're mevatel, once you nullify the chametz, so now the din of bedika is only a safeguard measure. It's a din derabanan. So we're only asking on the question of bedika. Bedika is also a din derabanan. So we are comparing, pun intended, we are comparing oranges and oranges. Right? It's the same question that we had regarding kupos. It's going to be the same question regarding our chametz, because we're not asking on the chametz. We're asking on the bedika. Bedika is the din derabanan. Okay? Good. We're ready to move on to the next. I'll just make a quick comment over here. Take a look at the top Rashi. Rashi describing over here that the case of the shtei kupos is the case where we're talking about truma derabanan. It's rabbinic truma, not truma min haTorah. Now, if I were expecting to read Rashi, which I did, and I expected to hear what Rashi has to say, I would have told you that Rashi's example of truma derabanan is that we're talking about shar peiros, we're talking about any other fruit other than grapes and olives. Grapes and olives, and of course the grains, the five grains. So according to Rashi, that's truma daraisa. Any other fruit is chayv and truma, but only midrabanan, not midaraisa. You look at the psukim in the Torah. Torah, when describing the mitzvah of hafrashas truma, is talking about grapes, olives, and the grains. The Torah doesn't make a reference of other fruit. Rashi throughout Shas is of the position that ashar peiros, that all other fruit are chayv and truma only midrabanan. So I was really expecting Rashi to say that would be the example over here where we're talking about truma derabanan. Oddly enough, Rashi writes two words. Rashi says truma derabanan bizman hazeh. Well, the Brice over here is describing post Beis Hamikdash, the obligation to take off Trumas Maisos post Beis Hamikdash. Now that we no longer have a Beis Hamikdash, now that we no longer have Yovel, and we do count Shemitah, but Rashi says that now downgrades the mitzvah of Truma to a Din Derabanan, not Din Daraisa. Certainly curiosity why Rashi does that. Why doesn't Rashi just simply describe the Brice as talking about Shar Peiros? But anyway, good, just a quick comment in Rashi. Anyway, we go on. We're on Yud Amud Aleph. We are three lines down. We're up to now our fourth scenario. Tzibur Echad Shel Chametz V'Lafanav Beis Batim. I have a pile of chametz. In front of that pile, there are two houses. Beis Batim Bedukim. Both houses already gone through Bedikas Chametz. The Asach V'Shakal. And along comes a rat and takes the chametz. V'Lo Yedinan Ilahai Al Ilahai Al. And we simply don't know which house it went into with the chametz. It went into one of the two houses. Both houses were checked, and we don't know. So Hainu Shinei Shvilim, so the Gemara says, good. We have a case for that as well. A precedent case for that, and that would be the case of the two pathways. Ditnan, so we learned in a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Taharos. Mishnah describes Shnei Shvilim, Echa Tami Ve'Echa Tahor. Two pathways. One is Tami, the other is Tahor. Which means to say that one pathway has got a grave that goes and covers basically the entire pathway, so that if I were to traverse one of the pathways, for sure I'm going to be coming into contact with Tuma. But there are two pathways, and there's Tuma under one of the pathways. One is Tami, the other is Tahor. V'halach b'echad mehem v'asa Taharos. And I walked under one of the pathways, and then I dealt with Taharos. U'bachaver v'halach b'sheni v'asa Taharos. My friend went down the other pathway, and he also handled Taharos. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Im nishalu zeh b'fnei atzma v'zeh b'fnei atzma Taharim. If the two of us were to go to our posting independently, and we asked them, are we Tami, are we Tahor? So the answer would be, we are Tahor. Shneim b'vas achas, if we ask simultaneously Tameim, so then we're going to be Tami. Okay? And then Rabbi Yossi Omer, ben kach ben kach Tameim. And Rabbi Yossi is of the position that doesn't matter if we ask independently or if we ask together, we're going to be Tami. Now, on this machlokas, obviously needs clarification, because consider, here are the givens. Here's what we know. We know that there are two pathways. We know one of them has Tuma lying across. We know that I walked down one, he walked down the other. What we don't know is which pathway contained the Tuma. When we go and we ask a Shaila, so this is going to be now a question of Suffolk Tuma. Now, presumably, if we were just alone, independent of the other person, and there was no second person involved, so what do we say under these circumstances? So this is Suffolk Tuma. But presumably, this is Safik Tumah Berushos HaRabim. And that's why under these circumstances, we normally say, Safik Tumah Berushos HaRabim, Sfeiko Tahor. So the ruling would be Tahor. But the problem over here exists in that there are two people, and now to rule Tahor for both of those people, so that would be flying in the face of, we know one of them has to be Tahor. So what we find over here, seemingly, is a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, where it makes a distinction, or maybe does not make a distinction, if we were to ask together, we don't ask together. But the Gemara qualifies the machlokas. Let's see the Gemara's continuation. Look, if the two of us went to a Rav together, and we asked the Rav together, here's the story, here's what happened. So the Rav at that point in time, so his hand is going to be forced. He's going to have to tell us that we're tamei. Because yes, if we were to ask individually, so then Sveiko, Safek Tumah Brishos HaRabim would be Tahor. But we didn't ask individually. And now the Rav to say Tahor for both of us is going to fly in the face of the reality that one of us, in fact, did walk down the Tameh path. Now, B'zecher Zeh Devar HaKol Tahorin. Now, if we didn't go together to the Rav, but we went independently, each one of us, but independently to the Rav, so now he could rule Tahor. Because now, when issuing a ruling, he only has to worry about one person, even though if I take the sum total of the two Psukim, it's going to come out that it goes against what we know to be the case. But again, when you paskin, you don't have to worry about that. You just are working with the information that's presented to you at the time. So if we ask together, so then kuli alma, everyone's in agreement that the Rav has to say tame. And if we ask independently, the Rav could say tahor to both of us. Lo nechliku, where is the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? It revolves around the following scenario. Lo nechliku ela bevalisha el alav ve'al chavero, where I go to the Rav and I give the Rav both the information for me and for my friend. Now, Rabbi Yossi, Medami Le Labasachas, Rabbi Yossi says, well, that's no different than the two of us asking at the same time. And Rabbi Yehuda, Medami Le Lezeh Acher Zeh. And Rabbi Yehuda says that this is more analogous to us asking at two different points in time. Okay, so this is Rava or Rabbi Yochanan's qualification of the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Good. Already that's a lot of information to digest. Now let's bring it around full circle to our discussion. Our discussion, which is analogous. I have a rat taking chametz, going into one of the houses. Each of the houses are baduk, and now the question becomes, do each of these houses now have to do bedika again? And presumably over here now it would line up. If the owners of the two houses were to ask simultaneously to one rav, well, he's stuck. If the owner of the houses were asked independently, so then the ruling would be that the rav can say, look, it's a question of safek, we're going to be mekel. And if one person asked for the two of them, so then that would be the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that would seem to be where the Gemara would land on this issue. However, Rashi does write, and I'm going to read the Rashi inside, Rabbi Yehuda Medamelu, Lezeh Acher Zeh, Rashi, just a couple of lines below where we are in the Gemara. Rashi writes, Hol ve'in kan shoel ela echan, mishivin lotar atashare suffik biyahu. Sorry, I didn't mean that Rashi. The previous Rashi. Alava al chaveiro. So, matahei al sheninu. Rav Yossi medamelu levas achas, ve'afa pi, shein shneim lefneim sarecha tahora achas l'shneim, o temeim atam, o tahorim atam. Vare'in atayochol omor tahorim atam. I'm sorry, Rashi, sorry, I preempted. Rashi over here basically sets it up the way the Gemara set it up. Okay. I spoke ahead of my turn. Anyway, good. So the case of the chametz being brought in by a rat into one of two houses, each of the houses are checked, and now the owners of the houses are going to be asking the question, what is the status of our house? Our checked house, do I have to check it again? So it is going to be totally on the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, but only with our refined understanding of that machlokas as presented by either Rav or Rav Yochanan. Next, Safek Al, Safek Lo Al. Let's say we have the following scenario. Here's what I saw. I saw the rat take the chametz. I saw him heading in the direction towards my house. I don't know if he went in. So Hainu Bika. So that's the case of the valley. Uvaplukta de Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan, and the Gemara here also has a precedent case. Right? Hopefully you're getting the hang of today's daf. Meaning the question in hand, a precedent case, and the analogy between the precedent case and the question that we're posing. So now we have a mission over here on Nechnas Lebeka. Somebody goes into a valley. Be a Mosag Shamim in the rainy season. What difference does it make what season is? Rainy season, people are not out and about. They're not out in the fields. Therefore, for the question of Safik Tuma, it is now viewed as a Rishus Yachid. Rishus Yachid, Rishus Rabim, as it relates to Safik Tuma, is different than Shabbos. By Shabbos, very clear parameters of what's a Rishus Yachid, what's a Rishus Rabim. We just spent about two Masechtas talking about that topic. Over here, when talking about Safik Tuma, it's very simple. Three's a crowd, right? Once there's more than two people involved, so that now falls under the category of Rishus HaRabim. It's not perfectly clear how to gauge whether or not there are three people, whether there are two people. Anyway, here's what we can say simply and clearly, that in the case where it's the rainy season, where really nobody's out and about in the fields, so the field now has the status of a Rishus Yachid vis-a-vis Safek Tumah. Okay. Vituma Bisade Plonis. Now we know for sure that there was Tumah in a particular field. You went into the valley spills out into many different fields, and now here's what you're not sure about. You're not sure if you went into that particular courtyard, that particular field that has the Tumah. Va'amar echad halachti. So, here's the question. I know I went into the valley, and the valley has on it many different fields. I know one of the fields is Tameh. I'm simply not sure if I even went into that particular field. So, here, machlokes between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Lazar says, in such a case, it's Tahor. Chachamim say Tameh. Shaya Rabbi Eliezer Amr Safik Biatar or Safik Maga Tuma Tame. Now, normally what do we say? Safik Tuma Barushus Yachid Sfeko Tame. So under these circumstances, it sounds like the ruling should be Tame, but Rabbi Lazar makes the following argument. Not in this case. Because in this case over here, the question really doesn't even get off the ground. You don't even know if you went into that field. Meaning, if the question is the Tuma is right in front of you, and there's a Safik, whether I touched it or didn't touch it, that's a classic Safik. And under those circumstances, Bereshus Yachid, Sveiko Tameh. However, in a field where I'm not even sure if I went in, that's what's called Safik Bia. Under those circumstances, Rabbi Lazar will say, that doesn't even get the question generated, and therefore, even though it's Bereshus Yachid, Sveiko is going to be Tahor. Here, Rashi says, okay, good. So the that under these circumstances, we're going to be even more makel as it relates to chametz, because even the chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer are going to say that in these circumstances it's a question of safek bia, and therefore we can even be more makel. Next case of the Gemara, we're halfway down in Yud Amud Aleph. I kept count, right, like I normally do. So this is going to be our sixth case. Al uvadak velo ashkach. Sixth case over here goes over the following scenario, which is that the mouse goes in with chametz into my house. I do a bedika. I can't find the chametz. What do we say under those circumstances? Velo ashkach. Now, again, the house started off as being a pre-checked house, meaning the bedika was already done. And now the mouse goes in, and I look for the chametz that he brought in after bedika already has been done. I didn't find it. So what's the expectation over here? So plukta de ramei v'rabbanan, so the Gemara says, machlok is between ramei and the chachamim. So Hayy Rabbi Meir Omer did not. Sorry, we learned in a Mishnah. Hayy Rabbi Meir Omer called Davish Becheskas Tuma LaOlam Hu Betuma Ad Shivade Lecha HaTuma Heichan He VeChachamim Omer Bodek Ad Shemagil LaSela O LeKarka Bisula. Case on discussion over here. We discussed this back in Masechta Nida some time ago. The Gemara back in Masechta Nida goes over a scenario where there are piles, and we know that Tumah went into one of the piles. And so what we did is we checked the piles, we unearthed the piles to see where the Tumah was. We simply couldn't find it. But we know that Tumah went into one of the piles, we just checked every one of them and we can't find them. So Rameir says, basically, you're stuck. Rameir says, look, you know Tumah went in, you didn't find the Tumah, go look again. Now, it's a very difficult position, both in that case over there, Nida, and our case over here. What's Rav Meir going to say? He's just going to keep on checking ad infinitum? It is a difficult position, but yet, that sheet is Rav Meir. Chachamim will tell you, bo de gachim agil asela lukarka besula. Here's what you'll do. You'll check the pile until you get to bedrock, meaning you're digging, you're excavating, and now you hit bedrock. Okay, that's it. You check the pile. You know Tumah went in, you can't find it. Okay, you're good. Or achim agil lukarka besula, you get to virgin soil, meaning soil that you know has not been dug up. Under those circumstances, once you check and you can't find it, you don't have an explanation of where it is, but you checked it, and that's sufficient. And so over here, presumably, the Chachamim would tell you that, look, you saw the rat bring chametz into your house. You checked. You couldn't find it, so you should be good. Next case. This is case number 7. Alu baduk v'ashkach. Case number 7 is as follows. You checked your house. Rat took chametz, brought it into the house. You quickly ran in after the mouse. You found chametz. You didn't find the mouse, but you found the chametz. Now, under those circumstances, what are you going to say? Sounds like a slam dunk, right? Should be fine. Meanwhile, plukta de Rebbe v'Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, de Tanya. Here, the Gemara quotes the following brisa: Sad de Shenev ad bo kever. We have a field. We know we buried somebody in the field. We don't know where the burial plot is. Okay, it's highly unusual, certainly uncomfortable, but that's what happened. So hanichnas sasocho tamei, nimsa ba kever hanichnas sasocho tar shani omer kever shavad hu kever shenimsa divrei Revi. So at the before finding where the actual burial plot was, so you walk into the field, so you don't know, and presumably it's a reshus yachid, so safik tamei reshus yachid sveiko tamei. If, however, you do find a burial plot. And so now what are you going to say? So Rebbe says, I'll tell you what. We know we lost a burial plot over there. We found a burial plot. So let's just put the two together. This is probably the one that we lost. That cheats Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Amar Tibadei Kol Asadikula. Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel says, insufficient. You have to do a bedika on the entire field. And only when you do a bedika on the entire field, then you could say that the field checks out. And the rest of the field is going to be fine. Obviously, Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the position that there could have been another burial plot over there. The one that we found is not necessarily the original one that we lost. And so therefore, you have to continue searching. Rashi writes over here that when, as it relates to Bedikas Chametz, Rashi first, very long line, Rashi says that by Bedikas Chametz, even according to Rav Meir, what we'll simply say is that that we're going to be makel under these circumstances. I'm sorry. That was Rashi on the previous case. Rashi says over here we're going to be makel as well. And once you find the chametz, so that's it. You don't have to look for any more chametz. Case number 8. Hiniach tes v'nimtza u'matzayun. Let's say the following scenario occurred. I put down 9 pieces of chametz. And again, over here, the Gemara is not making reference to our minug, that for Bedikas Chametz, we lay down Chametz. That's a minug. It's an old minug. The Ramah brings it down. It's a very old minug, but that's not what the Gemara is making reference to over here. The Gemara is just asking about a house that was Baduk, and after it was Baduk, I left 9 pieces over there, and then I discovered 10 pieces. Umatzayun. So plukta de Rebbe v'Rabbanan de Tanya. So this too is a machlokus. We have a precedent for this as well, based on the following Tosefta. Hiniach mana umatza masayim. Chulin umayser sheni muravim zebezeh. Divirebi v'chachamim omrim hakol chulin. Let's say we have a following. We have a box in which, normally what I do is I deposit mayser sheni in that box. And happens to be that the last time I checked there were 100, let's call it dollars, but you know it's not dollars, they're coins. But let's say I have $100 worth of mayser sheni in that box. And then I open up the box and I find 200 over there. So what do we say? So Rebbe will tell you, I'll tell you what we say. That what we're looking at over here is chulin and maaser sheni mixed together. Meaning I know the first 100 was maaser sheni. And now there's another 100 in there? Okay. So somebody deposited chulin over there. And so I have a tyrovis. I have a mixture of chulin and maaser sheni. Now this kind of tyrovis is not really the end of the world, because what you could simply do is that you could be poda, you could redeem the maaser sheni onto other maaser sheni. So that's it's not a deal breaker. But okay, that's what you have to do. And meanwhile, according to the Chachamim, hakol chulin, everything is chulin. Why is everything chulin? Because according to the Chachamim, here's what we're going to say. I know that the first $100 that was in the box was Maaser Sheni. Now, when I opened up, there are 200. So it is more likely, says the Chachamim, that somebody took out the Maaser Sheni of 100 and replaced it with 200 of regular money. Now, I know this case over here is a little bit challenging. If the box is normally used for Maaser Sheni, so why not make the argument that the 200 over there is in fact also Maaser Sheni? And I guess what you're going to have to say is that the box over here is not designed to be used exclusively for Maaser Sheni. Otherwise, it's really hard to understand. Anyway, so translate that to our case over here. So in our case over here, I have the I laid down nine and I found 10. So presumably now, this is exactly the machlokas, where Rebbe will tell you that when I lay down 9 and I find 10, I'm going to have to say now that this 10 now is totally new. Where's the 9? That's a problem. I don't know. Whereas according to the Chachamim will tell you no. I'm sorry, other way around. Okay, now I'm working it in my own head. I'm sorry. According to Rebbe will tell you that the additional 100 is just simply augmented on the original. According to the Chachamim, that's it. That's better. According to the Chachamim, no. The original is gone, and this is a totally new. The whole new pile is new. Okay, so now we have a problem. According to the Chachamim, we got to find the original. Okay. Next case over here. Number 9. 3 lines from the bottom of Yudam and Aleph. Hiniach Yudam Asatesha. Okay, the inverted case. I started with 10, and now they're 9. So, Hainu Sefer, Detanya. Now, happens to be that that very same Brisa deals with the scenario. Hiniach Masayim Amatzah Mana. Mana Munach Mana Mutal Divir Rebbe. So, what happens is that we started with 200. Now, the next time I open up the box, I find 100. So, Rebbe will tell you, fine, somebody took 100. It's from the original. And the Chachamim Ramim HaKol Chulin, and the Chachamim say no. Once it is a different amount, so we're going to say that somebody took out the original pile and replaced it with this new pile. Okay. And that would translate to the same thing over here in the case of the starting with 10 and then ending up with 9 piles of chametz. Hiniach b'zavizu. We are now in Yudamud Beis, top of the Amud. And now this is going to be our 10th case under discussion. What I did is I left the chametz in one corner of the room, in one corner of the house, and then I find it in another corner. So what can we say over here? So the Gemara says, once again, before we say anything, we have a precedent case. Plukta de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan. This too is subject to a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. Detanya, Gemara quotes the following brisa, Kardom Shavad Bebayis. So let's say we have an axe lying around in the house, and I lost it. So tummy. So the house is going to be tummy. Not the house itself, but the remaining contents of the house is going to be tummy. Shani Omer Adam tummy nechnas l'sham v'nat lo. Because what I'll argue is the following: the accident walk away. Somebody walked into the house. Somebody took the axe. Under those circumstances, I'll assume the person who came in and took it is a person's tummy, and so therefore the contents of the house are going to be tummy. He touched other things as well. Or if we're, let's leave it like that. He touched other things as well, and therefore whatever else in the house is going to be tummy. It is a funny assumption that we're making that obviously a person did come into the house, right? Axes don't walk up and walk out by themselves. That part we certainly understand. The idea that we're assuming that the person walking into the house is necessarily a tummy person, that's a little bit unusual. That definitely requires an explanation, but that's the assumption they're making. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Habayis Tar Shani Omer Hishilo La'echa V'Shachach. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, look, I'll speak for myself, right? Could very well be that, yes, somebody moved the axe. You know who that person was? It was me, right? I totally forgot. All right, somebody asked me if I could borrow my axe. Okay, I wasn't totally in the moment. So I picked up the axe, I brought it to him. And now, the next day, I'm looking around. Where's the axe? What happened? Where'd it go? Okay. So, and so therefore, according to Shimon Gamliel, so there is a good explanation as to the movement of the axe, and it doesn't have to involve a tummy person walking to the house. Now, the Brisa then segues into a similar issue in which the axe went from one corner to the other. And I don't know how it got from one corner to the other. Now, the Gemara immediately wonders, we're talking about a missing axe, and then we talked about an axe moving from one corner to another. Zavizman de Kashme. How did that become part of the discussion? Chesura Mechzura, Vahachi Kitani. So the Gemara says, yeah. What happened was is that we're actually missing a part of the Brisa. Here's what we're going to have to, we're going to just reread the Brisa, and it accounts for both cases of the Brisa. Kardam Shav Bebais Habais Tamishani Omer, Adam Tami Nech Nasusham Benatla, O Shinichu Bezavizu, Umatsi Bezavis Acheris Habais Tamishani Omer, Adam Tami Nech Nasusham Benatla Bezavizu, Vinichu Bezavis Acheris. Okay. Now in our rereading of the Brisa, we're just going to insert the case of the axe moving from one corner to another. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, we are actually discussing both cases. The case where the axe left the house, or the axe moved from one corner to another. In both of those circumstances, the Chachamim say, here's the argument. The argument's going to be that that somebody came in and moved the axe. Either took it out, or moved it from one corner to another. And same person is, in fact, Tameh, and he came into contact with other things in the house. Okay, again, I'll just simply repeat. It's a little bit curious to why it is that we're assuming that that mystery person is Tameh, but okay, that's the Tanakhama. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Abai Star, Shani Omer, Hishil Echar V'Shachach, Oshanat L'Mizavizu V'Inech B'Zavizu V'Shachach. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, yeah, you know who that mystery person is? It's me. It's the owner of the house. And what happened was is that absentmindedly, so somebody asked me to borrow it. I lent it to him. Now I'm wondering where to go. I don't remember that it was me. Or I'm the one who moved it from one corner to another. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we can give a extraordinarily plausible explanation that doesn't have to include another person. And so therefore Rav Shimon Gamliel says the rest of the house remains tahor. So when the chametz now moves from one corner of the house to the other, so presumably over here, same story. That according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, yeah, you know who moved the chametz from one to the other? It was me. And presumably, according to the Chachamim, so it wasn't me, it was somebody else, and that will create a problem. It will remove the chazakah of the house being a cheskas baduk. Okay, that was all cases that were precedented. The Gemara now is going to be dealing from here into the Mishnah a number of other cases. In these cases over here, we're not going to have precedent, but a number of other cases that are going to be discussed. Amarava Achbar Nechnas Vikikar Befi Venechnas Acharav Umatza Pirurim Sarch Bedika Mimnesha Ein Darko Shal Achbar Lifarer. So here a really straightforward halacha, and that is our rat. Our rat went ahead and took a loaf of bread, chametz, and he goes into the house, and now you're chasing him. Now you didn't find the rat, you didn't find the bread, but you did find crumbs. So can you now make the argument, okay, this is leftovers of the rat, and therefore we're still good? No, we're not going to make that argument. You have to do bedika again. Why? Because ain darker shall achbar lefarer. That's not the nature of the rat. The rat's going to go ahead and eat the bread. And so therefore, what are these crumbs? These crumbs are from something else. Meaning, do bedika again. Amar Rav Tinok nechnas v'kikar biyado. V'nechnas acharav v'matza perurim in tzorach bedika mimnei shedarko shel tinok lefarer. A similar halacha by Rava, but a contrasting halacha. And that is, instead of a rat, now we're going to be talking about a child. So a child runs into the house. You check the house. And now a child runs in with chametz. You chase the child down. Found the child. You didn't find the chametz. And you found crumbs. Here, a child does leave a mess. Okay? Anyone with experience, just simply nodding their head. Okay, good. So now we have a good explanation to what these crumbs are. The crumbs are the leftovers of the child. Right? And don't let your frustration get to you. Right? I'm speaking to myself. Right? In other words, just ask the child politely not to do that again. Next, by Rava, Achbar nechnas v'kikar befiv, Achbar yotze v'kikar befiv mahu. Okay, well, let's say we have the following circumstantial evidence where the rat goes into a house. The house was already examined, as is every case over here that we've been discussing today. And he has a loaf of bread in his mouth. Now, it happens to be that a rat comes out with a loaf of bread in his mouth. So, Ami Amrina and Hainu Hai, the Al, Vainu Hai, the Nafak, Odilma Achrinahu. So, can we make the following argument? It's the same rat. I certainly like to make that argument. It's the same rat. I'd hate to think that there are more than one rat, but unfortunately, that's not how it works. The other side of the argument would be, that's a different rat. That's a different loaf of bread. And so, therefore, what happens now is that I have to do bedika again, because that rat that went into my house with the bread, that's not the rat that came out. Now, Imtim Salomar, Hainu Hai, Da'alva, Hainu Hai, Da'nafak. Now, Imtim Salomar is a progression, right? The Gemara does this often, in that the Gemara is going to ask a question, not directly answer it, but basically move on to the next question with a certain assumption. And the Gemara says, let's now assume that it's the same rat with the same loaf of bread that came out, that went in. All right, let's assume that way, right? Whenever you have an Imtim Salomar like we have right now in our Gemara, so the Rambam assumes that the Gemara is essentially answering the question as it progresses to the next question. Achbar lavanechnas v'kikar befiv, achbar shachor yotze v'kikar befiv mahu. Let's say you have a white rat going in with a loaf of bread, and out comes a black rat, and he's got a loaf of bread in his mouth. Now, hi vade achrinahu. Now, the argument would be over here, what seems to be the sensible argument is, that's a different rat, different color. Rats don't change color. So that's a different rat. We have a problem. I got to do a bedika on the house again. And also I got to call the exterminator. But Odilma Armuya Armuya Mine. So the Gemara says, or maybe not. Maybe what we can argue is the following. It's the same loaf of bread. Not the same rat, but the same loaf of bread. What happened? White rat went in with the bread. Black rat saw the white rat with the bread. A scuffle ensued. And the black rat wrestled it from the white rat. And the black rat came out with the same loaf of bread. And so therefore the house remains baduk. It remains intact. As a checked house, at least for chametz, that is. Rats, you got a different problem. Anyway, that is, admittedly, that's a really difficult argument to make. That's exactly what the Gemara wants to do. The Gemara wants to know whether or not this argument has any validity. So the Gemara says, okay, let's assume rats don't take from one another, right? That would have been my inclination, but it doesn't matter what I think. Anyway, achbarim lo shakli me'adade, rats don't take from one another. So achbar nechnas v'kikar b'fiv, v'chulda yotze v'kikar b'fia mahu. So now let's say the rat goes in with a loaf of bread, and out comes chulda. So it's a weasel, or whatever the proper translation of it is. Here's what I know for sure. It's bigger than the rat. And so now, one rat wrestling from another rat, unlikely. The chulda wrestling the bread from another rat, maybe. So chulda vadem achbar shakalte. So can we make that argument? The chulda took it from the achbar. Odilma achrinahu. So, or maybe no. Maybe the chulda, this weasel that came out with the bread, maybe it's different bread. The im isa deme achbar shakalte achbar fia hayim mishtakech. Because consider, if the weasel went ahead and wrestled the bread from the rat, you know what he also would have done? He would have also taken the rat as well. Meaning the weasel is significantly larger, right? A predatory animal that would have eaten the rat just as well as eaten the bread. And what you would have expected to see now is not only bread in the mouth of the weasel, but the rat as well. And the Gemara says, you know what? That's a very strong argument. That if this bread actually was the bread of the rat that went into the house, so then I would have expected the rat to be in the mouth of the weasel as well. So therefore, we're going to have to assume that this bread was other bread. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's move on to the next question. Another progression. Achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv, v'chulda yotze v'kikar v'achbar b'fiv, chulda b'fi chulda mahu. So let's then now discuss the following scenario. The rat goes into the house with bread. Out comes a weasel with in his mouth the rat and the bread. Now over here, problem solved. Case solved, right? The Gemara says not necessarily. Hachavade iuhu. On one hand, you can make the argument that the case is solved. And now there's no mystery bread now located in the house. The bread has been taken out. So is the rat. Thank you, weasel. Odilma im isa di iu niu kikar. B'fi achbar mishtakech havabai ishtakuche. Or maybe over here, the argument would be, look, the way we would envision the scuffle is that the weasel would attack the rat. And so therefore, what we should expect the weasel to do is come out with rat in mouth, and where's the bread? Still in the mouth of the rat. Odilma mishum b'yisusuhu nafa v'shakalta. Or maybe no. Maybe over here the rat was terrified as it was being chased and successfully predated by the weasel, and it could be that in the chase, so the rat just simply dropped the bread. Weasel successfully got the rat, successfully got the bread. Maybe that's a way to explain it. Teiku, the Gemara leaves this last question unresolved. Just a couple more to go to finish up to the Mishnah. By Rava, Rava asked the following question: Kikar b'shmei korat sarach sulam lehorida o ein sarach. So let's say, Baruch Hashem, you live in a house with high ceilings, and there happens to be a loaf of chametz in one of the banisters of the house, way too high for you to reach. Do you have to get a ladder in order to bring it down as part of your bedika? Now this Gemara over here. So let's go back full circle to the beginning of the Masechta. So if you remember, right, our first machlokas and a basic machlokas is why do a bedika altogether, right? The Mishnah brought down Orla Arba Asar. First off. First Mishnah, first line. Orla Arbasar, Botkin, Chametz, Or Aner. So you do a bedika by candlelight. And Rashi says over there on that Mishnah, why am I doing a bedika? Shelo yavor alav, beval yirav ayimatze. Because if I don't get rid of the Chametz, so I'm going to be in violation of val yirav ayimatze. Tosus heard that, Rashi, and Tosus cannot believe it. What are you talking about? Val yirav ayimatze. Right? Here's what you do. You're mevatel, and you're not in violation of val yirav ayimatze. That's not why the Chachamim asked you to do bedika. Do you know why the Chachamim asked you to do bedika? Because if you leave chametz around your house, even if it's not yours, but you're going to be tempted to eat it. So that you do not violate the Isser of Achila during Pesach, so that's why the Chachamim demanded that you do bedika, search and destroy your chametz so that you don't have that problem. And Tosfos says, then how do I know that I'm right? So Tosfos says, oh, because there's a Gemara in Daf Yud Amud Beis. Notably, our Gemara. Where our Gemara describes where there's chametz in the rafters of your house. So do you have to take it down? Tosa says, the question obviously is predicated on the issue of, well, if it's not accessible to you, you're not going to end up eating it. or it may become accessible to you, and therefore you may end up eating it. Clearly the issue in hand over here, says Tosfos, is that the bedikah is for that I do not violate the isser of achila. So our Gemara over here really spoke to Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta in terms of why bedikah is required altogether. Let's go back. Let's finish up. The Bai Rava, Kikar Bishmei Korah Tzarech Sulam, Lorida O Ein Tzarech. So when the chametz is up in the rafter, so do I need to get a ladder to bring it down as part of my bedikah? Or can I just leave it there? Obviously, I'll be mevatel it. So mi amrina kule hai lo atchuchur abanan, kevin de lonachis minafshah, minafshay. On one hand, it could very well be that the chachamim simply didn't have you, didn't require you to go through all that effort. Because it's not going to come down on its own, and lo asli lemichle, you're not going to come to eat it. By the way, those are the key words, lo asli lemichle. Right? The Gemara over here really is a strong proof for Tosos. Odilma, or perhaps no, zimna dafa v'asli lemichle, maybe what's going to happen is that it falls. Minor earthquake, or somebody threw something up there, knocked down the chametz. So it's possible. Imtem salamar zimna dafa v'asli lemichle. So the Gemara over here says, and look, imtem salamar, here we go again, that progression. Where now the Gemara says, let's assume that we are worried that it's going to fall down. The chachamim were concerned that it's going to fall down and you may come to eat it. So that means to say that for bedikah, get out the ladder and get the chametz. So the Gemara says, fine. Kikar bibur tzarech sulam lahal osa o ein tzarech. Let's say the kikar is found in a very deep pit on my property. And do I have to now go down there and do I have to retrieve it? So hachavada delo avida desaka minafshei. On one hand, look, it's not there's no way that that loaf of bread is going to jump out from the pit. Unlike the case of the rafters, where it's possible it's going to get knocked down, and therefore you may come to eat it. But over here, if it's down all the way in the bottom of the pit, on its own, there's no way it's going to come up and come into your house. On the other hand, look, it is a pit on your property, and you do go down there on occasion, and what you may end up finding is you're going to go down there, and you may end up finding that loaf of bread while you're down in the pit. And you may come to eat it. So the Gemara says, and maybe the Chachamim were worried about that as well. And therefore, you have to get a ladder and go down there. So the Gemara says, let's finish up with the following. Kikar b'fi nachash tzarech chaver lohutzi o ein tzarech. So let's say the loaf of bread is found itself in the mouth of a snake. And so do I have to hire a snake charmer? It's funny, the word chaver most of the time refers to somebody who is meticulous in the way he performs halacha. Over here, chaver, right, as per the pasuk in the Torah, chover chaver, right, a charmer. So do I have to hire the local snake charmer? So begufe itchuchu rabbanan bemamon lo itchuchu rabbanan odim aloshna. So are the chachamim expecting you now to hire a charmer in order to successfully perform the mitzvah of bedika, or maybe not? Maybe there's no reason why a snake charmer needs to be hired. Because that now is going to involve money, and for that maybe the Chacham didn't require you to do so. Now, you'll note, by the way, that earlier in our Gemara, the Tosfos points this out, the second to last Tosfos on the Amud. You'll notice that earlier in our Gemara, so the Gemara says that people enjoy doing mitzvahs with their money. So the remember we talked about the rental, where it was, you thought that the landlord was going to do the bedikah, probably because he told you he was going to do it, and meanwhile, when you rented it, you discovered that he did not do bedika. So can that void the rental? And the answer the Gemara gave on Davdala was no, it doesn't void the rental. What if the minhag is that people hire others to do the bedika? Now it's going to require me to spend money? So the Gemara over there says people love doing mitzvahs with their money. And that also doesn't void the rental. That's what we said in Davdala. Over here, the Gemara is asking the question, do the Chachamim expect us to spend money on doing the bedika? And the Gemara raises its arm in the air and says, I don't know. So that's, and Tosfos points out that's strange, right? But you can make a distinction between the cases. So previously, when you hired somebody to do the bedikah, so now you know a bedikah will be done. You know you're going to have success. But over here, you know, you hire a snake charmer, and I'm going to be honest with everyone here. I haven't done it, but you hire a snake charmer, so you don't know, you're not sure it's going to be successful. So in other words, it's money spent, but you don't really know if bedika, if it's going to be successful expenditure of your money. And Satosha says maybe that's the difference between the cases. Okay, Adkan. We'll stop at the Mishnah. Tomorrow we pick it up at the Mishnah. Okay, honestly, this is going to be one of the more challenging dapim to review. Okay, so I'll say it, I'll do it in really short order, but it's not really a good review of the daf, but I'll say something. So in today's daf, we went over a dozen scenarios where I have a house with a cheskas baduk, and there was an event that occurred that possibly removed the chazakah of the house being a house which is baduk. We went over a dozen scenarios where we had all these different scenarios, and for the most of our daf today, the Gemara says, oh, that case precedented based on a Mishnah or an Abraisa that spoke about a case. Most of the time, we were comparing to cases of Tumah and Tahara. Right? Actually, the first two cases was regular Issa v'Heter. But most of the time, we compared it to cases of Tumah and Tahara, or cases of Truma. Anyway, in any event, that was the majority of today's daf. And that took us through Yud Amud Beis. On Yud Amud Beis, so we discussed related halachas. Rava taught us halacha of a rat going into the house, and you followed it, and you found the crumbs. Does that the rat do that? No. Does a child do that? Yes. Okay? And in the case of the rat, you have to do bedikah again. In the case of the child, pick up the crumbs, you don't have to do bedikah again. Okay? And then a number of cases that we dealt with after that. Stop over here, and we'll pick it up tomorrow with the Mishnah.